Communications and Legislative Liaison Committee of the Orange County Water District. And with that, Madam Clerk, can you conduct a roll call?
Roll call. Director Bilodeau. Director
I am
Tran.
Present.
Director Tran.
Here.
Director Yeo.
Here.
Director Whitaker.
Here.
Director Sheldon.
Here.
Director Amezcua. Director Meeks. Director Nguyen. Director Wigand.
Here.
Director Green. You have a quorum.
Did you give me, what was my mic on when I said here?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you.
So, Mr. General Manager, are there any items that received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Time reserved for visitor participation. I see none in house. Anyone virtually? Thank you. So we are at our consent calendar now, and a single item, which is a minutes of ComLeg meeting for August 8th. Any questions, or I would entertain a motion.
I will move approval.
Thank you.
A second motion.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Madam Clerk.
Director Tran.
Aye.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Sheldon. Director Sheldon. Director Wigand?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that. We're at item number two now, our first action item today, the state legislative update.
Thank you, Chair Whitaker. We have Jason Gonzalez and Jason Eichard.
Good morning, Jasons.
Good morning or good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yes, my correction.
I'll start off. Thank you, Director Whitaker. Jason Gonsalves. I'll start with the good news. The legislature has adjourned. They reconvened August 5th. And as we previously had indicated, of the 2,100 bills that were introduced back in January, February, 1,350 were pending post August 5th, with August 31st being the deadline to pass legislation. The appropriations committees held about 250 of those bills. So we had about 1,000 remaining prior to, you know, for that 3.5 week final push. Every end of session is chaotic. This year's end of session, chaotic would be an understatement, because there was some little national convention that took place about 10 days prior to final adjournment. So we lost 20 plus members of the legislature with about 10 days left and 10 days and 1,000 bills remaining to be vetted. The deadline, just to kind of illustrate how smooth the process is, the deadline to amend bills was August 23rd. Those deadlines apply to everyone except the legislature, because they amended 46 bills between August 23rd and August 28th. And the 28th is the cutoff date, because they have to be in print for 72 days. So we had about 1,000 bills remaining, about 850, 900 of which have moved to Governor Newsom, and he has until September 30th to take action on those bills. The governor, where he's, how he handles the bills could in large part be influenced by the fact that the governor, the speaker, not as much, but the pro tem, seem to be in a standoff right now. The governor has, he, part of those 46 late bills were the governor's proposal to address gas tax, gas prices in California. The governor, those bills were unlikely to pass. The governor then called for an extraordinary session. The assembly organized the extraordinary session and then adjourned it, or I'm sorry, recessed it. And they're eligible to go into extraordinary session at any time with a potential agreement. The speaker and the governor have been in discussions. The President pro tem, on the other hand, has not organized the extraordinary session. He has not indicated he has any interest in convening an extraordinary session. And whether or not he largely ignores the governor, actually, he has largely ignored the governor, and whether or not the governor chooses to sue the Senate is a question that's been floated around Sacramento just for political entertainment. So, you know, if you're the president pro tem, and I'm not, your Senate race, just use the Senator Newman and former Assemblymember Stephen Choi, that race, Senator Newman, it's no secret to anyone, and this isn't to be partisan, but he was recalled on gas taxes. Do you really want to have an extraordinary session right now and put someone like Senator Newman or any other moderate, Senator Rubio, any other moderate Democrat up on an oil vote before the November election? I think you'd be better off just sending them some U-Haul boxes. So that's kind of the political dynamics at play here in Sacramento. So long and short of it, the legislature's gone, but the games continue to be played, and we'll see if they come back for an extraordinary session. Lastly, all 80, as I touched base on, all 80 assembly members are up in November. 20 of the 40 senators are up, many of which are in new reapportioned districts. So we will have 35 new members post-November, coupled with 37 new that came in 2022. So 72 of the 120 members will have served 2 years or less. Obviously, rebuilding and continuing to build OCWD's presence in Sacramento will be starting with a new crop of potential allies, but we're going to have to get to work early to make sure they know who you are and what you do. So I'll stop there and answer any questions or turn it over to Jason if I think he has a bill to update on.
Yes, any questions at this point? Seeing none, we can proceed.
I filibustered you.
You added some color to an otherwise dull month, I think.
Thank you, directors. I actually want to start with a compliment to my colleague. He always does a good job making that entertaining, and it was certainly a fascinating end of session this year. So my part can be brief. When you all met last month, you took an opposed position on SB 1255 Durazo. This was the bill that required all of your producers to put a charge on all of their ratepayers' bills to provide low-income rate assistance. There were a number of problems with the bill. I'm not going to belabor them here because you all already voted to oppose it. And the fortunate news is that the bill died. It had some significant costs to the state, or at least significant enough that it got placed on the suspense file in the Assembly Appropriations Committee. And we suspect that the reason that it was held there was not so much the cost as it was this was a late session bill that did not go into print until June, and it still had a lot of issues that were unresolved in it. Even if you were a person who was supportive of low income rate assistance, there were questions about whether or not the programs as put together in this bill would cost more to administer than the amount of assistance it would push out the door to low income people. So long story short, that bill did not move forward, which is fortunate. Made the end of session a little bit better for the water community. The bad news is that, you know, it's almost a certainty that Senator Durazo or at least the sponsors come back and try and pursue this again next year. But it's obviously always a little bit better to be in a position to, you know, to argue that the legislature rejected this once already. So we will keep you posted. We wouldn't expect it to be the same exact bill. We'd expect them to make some changes, but obviously we will keep our eyes out for it in the next session. And happy to answer any questions.
Yes, thank you. Any questions? Or none here, none virtual. Thank you for the report. Appreciate it.
Director Whitaker, very briefly, we have an old saying in our office, the bill may be dead, the author isn't. So it will certainly come back.
Thank you for that. Okay, with that, we are ready for our federal legislative report.
Thank you, Chair Whitaker. So David French is joining this morning on behalf of Eric Saperstein.
Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon. I appreciate it. It was enjoyable listening to Jason. Brings back memories of my work with and in the California legislature, although it's kind of like acid reflux. it's not always pleasurable. Let me provide you with a quick overview of kind of where things stand in Washington, D.C. Congress is returning to D.C. next Monday after an extended August recess. Unable to pass the FY25 spending bills, they need to pass a continuing resolution to fund the federal government. The House Speaker, Mike Johnson, is working to pass a six-month stopgap funding bill, and that includes legislation requiring stricter proof of citizenship requirements for voting. As you can imagine, that's a little contentious. The Senate is not going to go along with that. They're looking at a shorter-term continuing resolution into December without any add-ons. We feel that neither party wants to be labeled as causing a shutdown before the November elections. Therefore, we do believe a stopgap measure will be passed before October 1st. The question of length is still unresolved, but we're looking towards December would be best case, especially for your priorities. When Congress returns, as you can imagine, there are a slew of unresolved issues, including the FY25 spending bills, the National Defense Authorization Act, the WERDA, which is Water Resource Development Act, and Farm Bill are all still on the table. We don't expect, while work will continue on those in the coming weeks, we don't expect those to be resolved. Most items are going to be set aside till post-election lame duck, and that includes even low-income household water assistance type measures, as you dealt with in California. Now, during a lame duck session, there's a couple items of direct interest for the district, and that is your congressionally directed spending, also known as earmarks. Representative Young Kim was successful in securing $1 million for the district for well improvements specific to PFAS. And also Representative Correa secured funding for Santa Ana for PFAS treatment. I believe it's the Garth Station is where that's occurring. In the House, their appropriations bill specific to EPA and the drinking water and a clean water state revolving fund was about $1.8 billion short of what's being provided suggested in the Senate. Those numbers will have to be resolved. A couple other items specific to the House spending bill is that there were a couple items in there dealing with USA reporting on the implementation of PFAS discretionary enforcement policies and development of effluent limitation guidelines for industry and biosolids regulations to address communities impacted by PFAS. So all those things are still in the works. We're hopeful, and I think Eric shares this opinion with me, we're hopeful that Congress will resolve FY25 spending and start with a clean slate as we move into the new year. But other than that, as you can imagine, despite Congress being gone for the month, there's been a little bit of action related to politics in D.C. So if there's any questions, I'd be glad to respond.
Any questions at this point? None virtually. Boy.
On the continuing resolution, what do you think the numbers are going to be?
There's the two options on the table in terms of numbers. So there's a couple ways to look at numbers. One is that they're looking either till March to push that off to. You could see something earlier than that. The Senate Democrats and Republicans are kind of looking for late November, December to provide time for them to resolve the issues. In terms of numbers, it's likely they'll continue spending at current year levels. There are some anomalies which they have to address, which are shortfalls in specific programs. That might be part of it as well. But does that answer your question?
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks. Still no questions virtual either. So a very thorough report. Thank you.
Thank you. And I look forward to Director Bilodeau's arrival in Washington, D.C.
Mr. Chairman, I was trying to get my mute button.
Oh, yes. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I didn't raise my hand, so thank you for asking multiple times. My question relates to the continuing resolution. Do you know offhand what will be the additional debt added to our $35 trillion federal debt from this continuing resolution?
Director Sheldon, I do not have that answer for you. I suspect it's something that's been of discussion and part of the House Republicans' effort to continue this until next year, post-election.
Thank you.
No crystal ball.
Well, there will be debt added to the existing $35 trillion, but we just didn't know exactly how much. But
that'd be a sure bet, yes. Okay, with that, thank you for the report.
I just had a quick question going back on the state side. As far as I was looking at the agenda item for upcoming activities, and our general manager mentioned it last night, that potentially there was a lieutenant governor, senator, and assembly member Petrie Norris tour, delegation tour. Is it something we would want to invite our legislative team in Sacramento to join, just to get familiarity with?
She's inviting them.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, okay. Our entire Orange County delegations will be invited.
Okay. But to have our guys come and participate? Yeah.
We can definitely make them aware. Yeah, and we did touch base with Cotty's office yesterday, and so it's still tentative, October 2nd, but they will let us know. They're trying to get the lieutenant governor, Senator Padilla. Then they'll invite the delegation, and we'll inform our consultants as well.
Yeah, just so if they happen to be in town or have sure. interest to join, just to
okay.
double that up. I don't know if that's a value or
okay.
it's even worth entertaining, but I just saw it on there.
Will
do. They're on the phone. They was out or want to know.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Sure.
Kind of go ahead. Goes from Eric's. Is this tour Orange County Water District hosted, led tour, so to speak, or is this being, or is the assembly member asked to have the tour and is organizing everything on their end, and it's kind of their tour? Can you, is that a, okay. am I inferring that correctly?
Sure, if I may, Chair. Yeah, so I would say ever since Cotty Petrie-Norris attended the final expansion event last April, she has expressed interest in hosting a GWRS tour here, inviting the delegation, and just showcasing the great project. So she made that ask of OCWD.
How much are you involved in the organization of this?
So far, I mean, we're dealing with the district director of Cotty's office, but that's about it. They're the ones making all the asks. So Cotty's office and staff are making the asks of the legislators.
But we'll be coordinating, there'll be lunch served, and there'll be a presentation, and how will all that work?
Yeah, so the agenda is pretty fluid, I think. It's our understanding that the lieutenant governor has about an hour, but we did anticipate presentation, you know, food and tour. When that all happens, I guess we'll coordinate it around what time kind of some of the electeds will be here, but Still very fluid, but we will absolutely share once it has been finalized or if there can draft form.
Okay, it seems like someone should have a conversation with the member just to kind of get a real direct communication of what her vision is and how she, what her vision is for it, and just make sure that we're on the same sheet, because she may have a different vision of who knows what. Not that it's a bad one. I'm just saying is we should have some direct communications with the member.
Okay. Well, Cotty had talked to me about doing this back during the final expansion, and Mike and I did talk to her, and we did say that we were open to that.
I wasn't criticizing the event, Madam President. I was just stating that we should communicate directly at least once or so. So that we know exactly what is the vision, and more so, I think that would be good. It's not our, I don't think Assembly Member Petrie Norris is, I don't think it's not difficult to reach her directly. So not that we don't want to work with through the district director, but I think there should be a direct communication just so we have the same vision and everyone's happy at the end of the day. We know all the expectations and how we can make it the best possible. That's all.
Before we leave, I just have to make one comment. Mr. French, You have an especially pleasing backdrop for your Zoom.
There was no one home, so I stepped on the lawn for my call.
Very restful, yes. Okay, well, thank you. Thanks for the reports. We are now at item number 4, the Children's Water Education Festival location and contract approval. Gina?
Sure. Thank you, Chair Whitaker. Danny Birch is here to give a presentation on the festival. And I do, before she gets started, I do want to let the committee know, I think I could do two things at once here, staff was directed to work closely with Director Wigan on this, and so we have done that. And Danny will share a little bit more right now. Okay.
One more time.
All right.
Thank you, Gina. Good afternoon. I'm doing it too. Good afternoon, everyone. So as a little bit of background and as a recap, the festival is OCWD's largest event. This coming one will be the 28th one we've hosted, and we've welcomed over 150,000 students to the event so far. So for 2025, we've been exploring different locations for a venue. We've looked all across our service area at over 60 locations, everything from parks to universities to large event spaces. And it has been challenging in a sense because it is a very unique event. We need a huge amount of space to accommodate all of the participants, and then we also need parking to not only accommodate over 300 vehicles, but also a bunch of buses. We want to make sure that it's private and safe for the students, and we need a date that a lot of students are able to attend, and the venue has to be willing to host our event too. So with all of that said, there were 3 from the 60 that we were able to narrow down that were willing to host our event and seemed like good prospects for our event. So those were the Huntington Beach Sports Complex, Oak Canyon Park, and UC Irvine. So I'll share a few benefits and challenges of each of these locations, starting with the Huntington Beach Sports Complex. This is really a massive sports area with a bunch of fields pushed together. So it seemed promising, but there were a few challenges, including that there are no classrooms there, and we weren't sure about the parking. It turns out that there isn't enough parking just available at the sports complex. We did reach out to the library about both the classrooms and the parking. They were open with the classrooms, but they are not able to give any of the parking for rent. So ultimately, we would not have enough parking there for the event. And then moving to Oak Canyon Park, we saw a lot of benefits here. It's also a large space. And a kind of unique benefit is that it's owned by James Events, which is the company that we've used for over 20 years for all of our pretty much all-inclusive event needs from rentals to coordination. It also has enough parking for our event. The only challenge is there being that they don't have the classrooms. It's not a university, and it would be a new location. And then UC Irvine, as Gina mentioned, we've been working with UC Irvine. We've been fortunate that a couple of the vice chancellors there have been willing to work with us, and a big thank you to Director Wigan for kind of bridging that. So we've hosted it there for a really long time, and we really like hosting it there, but we've had some big challenges with the increasing cost. Every year it's gone up significantly. And with those conversations, as I mentioned, they've been very open and very helpful, but unfortunately there's been no guaranteed discount or sponsorship that they can offer, which makes it very challenging to continue to host it there. In addition, they've added a new insurance requirement that will cost us, OCWD, an additional $20,000 to add that. And it also is something that they're requiring of every organization participating. So that means anyone that's volunteering their time could be required to also add this insurance requirement. It would vary depending on their insurance, how much it would cost, but it's a really challenging ask to ask organizations to pay additional money to come to our event. So with that, we've broken down the cost, and I'll kind of go through it. There's obviously the location cost itself, which that includes the parking. For UCI, we've also added in the insurance, and then also the venue space. But then an associated cost with the location is the event services, as I mentioned. It will vary a little bit depending on location. If we do one completely outdoors, it will be a little more expensive as we would need more tents, more chairs, more tables. So that's the differing prices, but you can kind of see it on the right-hand side. So with that said, we are making the recommendation to move forward with Oak Canyon Park. They have the space, they have the parking, they have the understanding of the event, and staff believes that it will be successful there. And with that, as I mentioned a little bit, James Events also has provided the event services for the event for over 20 years. And if we were to move forward with their park, they would also have that understanding of that space as well. And you can see on the right, I know it's a little challenging to see, but that's really how much they provide. It's everything from every chair to first aid, carts, and everything in between, even planning for the event. So they really provide a lot of value to the event.
What will they do about the classroom space? How are they going to accommodate for that?
Yeah, so all of our presenters that use classroom spaces are willing to do it as an outdoor tent. So kind of depending on the size of the classroom, we would do bigger tents or smaller tents. So it would just be moved to outdoor.
Kind of like how you
just
do
like
it
all
now.
The other ones. Okay. Yes, exactly. Just more of them because we wouldn't have the classrooms. Yeah.
And it, just to add, it would kind of go back to how when Festival first started at Hidden Valley Park, which was also owned by James Events, we didn't have any indoor. I think we had one where we put like a large earth balloon, but it really more was like an outdoor field trip for the kids. And I think that was attractive to teachers and students, that outdoor education.
Well, really, even at the Richard Nixon Library,
true.
A lot of those were outside. I mean, there were a few inside, but most of it was outside.
That's true.
I like the choice very much. And it makes it pretty much turnkey with their operation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does this budget, the proposed budget on this, compare with prior years?
So it would give us, the budget for a festival is pretty much in line with how it has been past years, but going with this location would allow us to spend a little bit more on like educational presenters or some of the event needs. We really scaled back everything when we were at UCI and just did all the money was the venue and the rentals, and we didn't have a lot left. Whereas in past years, we were able to say, pay for, I don't know, a Nat Geo presenter or someone kind of a specialty presenter that we wanted or something extra for the kids. So we're still going to be very mindful of the dollars and try not to spend and have, you know, sponsorships offset it, but it'll give us a little bit more flexibility to beef up the educational program.
So we've done around 200,000 or so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then the question is what our share is versus what other contributors provide for that, right? What are the funds we're able to?
Yes, we try to offset it with 70,000 in sponsorship. Right. I mean, the hope is we always try for more, but it's been a little bit more, or we've seen a little bit of drop ever since COVID, but we will work hard to do that. So we're looking for grants, we're looking for sponsorships. We have a lot of the retail agencies who pay for transportation. So we're hopeful that we'll get some good funding.
And the only last question, with the last couple of years, the only question on this is precipitation there. Is that pretty resilient with that?
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's always the hope. We have a rain contingency plan, but that comes with dollars, so we always hope for no rain. But we do have a plan for it. And that location, yes, it is conducive to, we would host it rain or shine, and the event services are prepared.
It would
to
be
do
managed
that.
Wetlands.
There is a little, like, lake.
It's a little lake, yeah. Part of the educational experience.
Yeah.
It's like a trench.
Yeah.
It is about water.
Yeah.
Sure.
Just to add to that, you can see the date that we're suggesting as April 23rd and 24th. At UCI, we've had to do it during their spring break, which also is a little more rainy, but also means that several school districts can attend. This date allows all school districts theoretically to attend. No one's on spring break during that time. So
and Disney will still be involved.
Yeah.
Are there any hands or comments virtual? Anything else here?
Yeah, I'll just say that staff really worked hard. We tried to make UCI work, but, you know, there's just too much in the dollars that made it difficult. And then the additional 20,000 for the insurance At that point, it just got ridiculous. So
well, the insurance spiking so much now, anyway, that's the real problem.
Yeah, and the fact that they were going to go after our other folks who were going to join for that same insurance. That, I mean, they're volunteering their money and resources, and on top of that, then they're asking for money. I think that was unreasonable. So I think this is a good fit for what we want to do. So thanks for working hard on finding something.
Will they mind losing us? I mean, we've been there a lot.
I mean, I think that's on them. I think we had enough conversation to explain that, you know, what we were asking them to help us do, they weren't willing to do. And I don't fault them for that, because they're in a budget hole themselves with the state of California's and their finances. So they're asking everyone to give those dollars when it comes to parking.
But now they lose everything.
But that, I guess that's just the risk that they were willing to run with. And I think for us, we just financially need to be in a better spot. I think this lets us have a better program, and now more kids can go. It's a little further out there, but you know, I think the kids will enjoy it anywhere that they go.
Oh,
anyone wants to go on a field trip? Right. I'll take a field trip for my job. So yeah, I think staff worked hard to make this work, and hopefully this is successful, and then we don't have to worry about begging to come back to UCI. I mean, they were going to give us some money, but it wasn't guaranteed. Yeah, we just didn't know how much they were going to give.
Well, all the ducks are in the row here. Pretty much ready. Okay. Well, great. Good work. Looks nice. Anything further?
We need a vote.
Oh, that's right.
So, I don't think I can vote. Sorry.
You can vote now.
I can? Okay, I'll move it.
So this is a vote to approve this plan. Sure. Madam Clerk, please.
Do we have a second?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can do a second. Certainly.
Roll call. Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Sheldon?
I vote yes, and I'd like to say that I think staff and Eric did a great job and made the prudent decision.
Director Wygant?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Thanks. And we are now at the Water Summit update, which is just around the corner for us. Gina, who's?
Thank you, Chair Whitaker. I'll give a brief update. So as you said, it's just around the corner, Friday, September 27th. So far, there are 200 folks registered to attend, and that does include sponsors right now. So the hope is to get to over 300. So hopefully in the coming weeks, there will be an increase in registration, and that has been the case in the past. We do have a final committee meeting for the summit ad hoc on the 16th to go over the final details. So far, $48,700 has been raised in sponsorship. And then I know everyone has seen this before, but there will be 5 summit sessions. And our last one, the lunch keynote, I think that's still kind of pending confirmation. Director Wygant has been kind enough to reach out to the campaign, and they are checking if they can do a hard confirm or not. And if not, we would invite them to do a video to share.
What would we do on a backup if, you know, I mean, I can only go so far with their campaign to get them to confirm. They're like, well, we'll let you know after Labor Day, and now we're after Labor Day. So I'll send another email. If they just do a video, will people just be like, would we have a backup to give a speech? Or should we look
to
that?
Yeah, I think that's something that would be great and to be discussed at that September 16th. I will email BODOC so that staff can be prepared with some suggestions for the committee.
Ask if they have a pinch hitter.
I don't know. When I talked to them, they seemed pretty insistent that they were going to.
The Garvey folks?
Yeah.
Yeah, her reply was, we'll try to get you an answer in the next few days, no later than right after Labor Day. All right. I'll send an email right now.
That's the update. So we look forward to September 22nd.
And I did ask, it's running against Garvey, Schiff, and they said definitely.
What would you look for, I guess, maybe for my knowledge?
Eric, if I could jump in, or Mr. Chair, if I could jump in for a moment, I want to.
Sure, go ahead, Director.
Yeah, thank you, if, Madam President. You participate as well. You'll recollect what I'm stating. We had it also come to the committee that have a potential session with Dave Min and Scott Baugh as a add-on to this, and so that could be something that would be available. We haven't inquired on that, but that's a little easier to pull off, and that would be something if the Senate participants were not able to participate. As a suggestion, I think, Eric, that's where your question was going.
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out, like, what would you like for that if Steve can't do it? But Steve, mm-hmm. Steve.
But then you would also have to vote. I mean, reach out and ask Scott's opponent.
Yes, I did. I said Dave Min and Scott Baugh.
Oh, I didn't hear.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm sorry. I probably didn't speak loud. If that was on me, if you didn't hear.
Okay.
So yeah, of course we'd have to have both. Of course, it wouldn't be fun without both.
That might be, but.
and in fairness, Gina, that's a really nice backdrop there too. I was out walking precincts all morning, and it's brutal out there, so that's very restful. Anything further on this?
Not on the summit.
Okay, thanks.
I'd like to add, I think, two of the sessions. I would have preferred to have more water. I would have preferred to have those be related to water supply. We have the climate bond, which I think Aqua, their neutrality, is that correct, Kathy? Their neutrality on the climate bond?
Well, it's coming to the board now. So now, state ledge, yes, but now it's coming to the board. So I can't tell you until September.
I guess we could have had cloud seeding as a water supply issue.
Yeah.
But that's going to be
that was proposed and it wasn't accepted. And so that's the climate bond doesn't seem to be really much water supply. And then we have decarboning your district, and that's not related to water supply as well. So I was disappointed in those sessions, which were, I guess, out of our control this year, and hopefully we can change all that. Thank you.
It's two real rainy seasons, and we've forgotten about water supply.
Right.
Or some people don't care about water supply.
Governor has it.
All right. So we're ready for for item number 6, the Public Affairs Outreach Report.
Thank you. The outreach report is contained in the packet. We just wanted to take the opportunity to highlight a few slides here. So we continue to have a really active tour program. Last month, we hosted about 100 folks on 8 tours, and we had 9 speaking engagements. So staff or directors going out into the community and talking about OCWD. And then in addition, we do continue to monitor chamber events so that OCWD has a presence, either attending or presenting at meetings. John led a tour last month of the Orange County Grand Jury, and that was a successful event. We started off here at the district, toured the lab, water quality, the GWS, and then we headed over to our recharge facility. So we took him down the Santa Ana River, and then over to La Palma Basin and back to OCWD. So that was a good event. We also hosted a webinar. We continue to host OCWD webinars on a quarterly basis, and we do that to highlight OCWD's leadership in the water industry, focusing on water supply and other issues. So the last webinar we hosted was R&D focused, squeezing the last drops out of enhanced recovery for reverse osmosis. So although we only had 80 attendees, we do post that on YouTube and link it from our website. So the hope is that it continues to get views as we move through the calendar year. Media stakeholder engagement for last month, our global reach was 7.4 million. We continue to increase our social media followers. So on our combined platforms, we have more than 18,000. And then staff continues to enhance our website for userability and just kind of streamlining information, making it user-friendly, less clicks. And so we continue to get good views on that OCWD website. wanted to list or highlight some of our news articles. So you could see here the water reuse article, the wastewater digest, and then Jason Dadakis and Ben Smith accommodated a NPR reporter who's doing a national story on PFAS, and it's really highlighting OCWD's leadership in the industry. So that should be coming out today or sometime this week or next. And that was a combined effort with the city of Anaheim as well, highlighting their treatment plant. Here's a sampling of some of our top social media. So you can see that we continue to utilize some of the trends and highlighting district programs and projects and our great staff out there. So you can see our new TikTok video that gained about 4,800 views. So that was great. And then one of our most popular LinkedIn was about our record groundbreaking recharge. So that did quite well as well. Upcoming events, Christina has these on the board calendar, but just a reminder, September 19th is the East Orange County Water District PFAS treatment plant dedication. So I know President Green and Director Bilodeau will be out of town, but Second Vice President Van Tran will be speaking on behalf of OCWD at the event, along with representatives from East Orange County. We spoke about that tentative tour on October 2nd, organized by Cotty's office, and we will reach out for Director Sheldon's direction. And then October 22nd, there is a Linda Vista treatment plant dedication that's in the city of Anaheim. So the city of Anaheim's taking the lead planning that, and we are supporting that event. And then finally, October 24th, we're hosting our annual groundwater adventure tour. So if any directors would like to join and or speak during any portion of the tour, whether it's the welcome, the lunch, or the concluding remarks, we'd be happy to have you. And that's where we take an all-door tour from about 8 to 4 of all of our facilities, including Anaheim and Prado. So we just opened up registration. And that concludes my presentation, unless there are any questions.
Any questions or comments? I want to add that our general manager made a well-received presentation at Fullerton Rotary. Very comprehensive. You packed a lot into that.
Mr. Chair, I have a brief question.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yes. On the tour, going back to the tour with Assembly Member Petrie Norris, what is the date for that?
Director Sheldon, it's tentatively October 2nd, but in speaking with the district director, he said they're holding the date October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. So,
and I think it's important, I hope the sense of the committee shares my sense that the district remain in control of the facility and the event as it occurs. We have had an experience in the past where it sort of lost control. And considering the timing of the tour and the 2-year cycle we're in right now, I think it's important that we certainly do that. So I'd like to strongly suggest that.
Thank you, Director Sheldon. We will do that.
Okay, that completes our agenda for today. I would direct that the items 2, 3, and 4 be agendized as consent items on our September 18th board meeting. And are there directors' announcements or reports? And virtual, I see. General manager's announcement or report?
Nothing.
All right. With that, we are adjourned.
Good meeting.